College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by Auburn head coach Bruce Pearl. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John. J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, my big thoughts from last weekend in college basketball. We now go conference by conference. Three right now making this headline. I look at the SEC. I see no top, I see no middle, I see no bottom. I don't see any great teams, I see a lot of good teams. I see a conference that could have 6 to 7 teams make the NCAA tournament and no teams reach the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. And I still firmly believe this. The team in the SEC that has the highest ceiling and the highest potential to go far in the field of 68 is the team in this league that has yet to win a conference game, Texas A&M. What do I see right now? Out of the Pac-12, Colorado, Stanford, and Oregon are all emerging. Colorado, in the last 2 weeks, has won home games against Arizona State and Arizona, and Saturday, they had an unbelievably big win at UCLA in Los Angeles. Stanford has been a significantly different team since Dorian Pickens returned to the lineup. This team didn't have any healthy guard play early in the season. Right now, with Pickens back in the lineup, they have been a formidable out. Keep this in mind, a big week for Jared Haase. Arizona State on Wednesday, and then on CBS Saturday afternoon, Sean Miller in Arizona come to Palo Alto. And Dana Altman has always been one of the best in terms of figuring out his team throughout the course of a season. Oregon beats Arizona State in Tempe and then was extremely competitive against Arizona in Tucson on Saturday. One of the main reasons why, in my opinion, the emergence of Mekhi McIntosh, the grad transfer from Illinois State. He averaged 16-10 in the last two games. What about the Big 12, the best conference top to bottom in college basketball this year? A year ago, we saw Kansas State make the first four in Dayton with 8 conference wins. And I firmly believe that history has to repeat itself again this year. I don't think right now the NCAA tournament, given the metrics of everything, is going to omit a Big 12 team that won 8 conference games, even if it has a losing league record. The league is too deep. It's too good. I think 8 wins will get a Big 12 team in again when you look at their league play. And one final thought right now on the team that everybody thought was the team to beat in the Big 10, and that's Michigan State. Michigan State losing at home against Michigan on Saturday. Everybody wants to talk about their 18 turnovers, and that's fair. That's fine. Turnovers are a major problem when you're talking about giving up, obviously, easy opportunities to the other team. But I still firmly believe this, and I talked about this early in the year. It's a difficult dynamic with Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges' best college position is at power forward. Now, when he came back for his sophomore season, the vibe was he was going to play more of the three because that's what he was going to play in the NBA. I'm not sure for Michigan State if it's going to be best to have Miles Bridges at the three in terms of their long-term potential this season. And I get it's difficult because if Miles Bridges is playing the four, then either Jaren Jackson Jr. or Nick Ward isn't on the floor. And the strength of this Michigan State team is the front court. Schilling, Carter, Kenny Goins, also Xavier Tillman. Kenny Goins, by the way, I think could start for probably 100 or 200 teams in college basketball. That's the issue right now if you're Tom Izzo, because if you go small, You're taking bigs out of the rotation. One team that doesn't have many bigs but has unbelievable chemistry is the Auburn Tigers, the only undefeated team in the SEC. And the head coach of Auburn, Bruce Pearl, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Auburn is the only undefeated team in the SEC. The Tigers are 16-1 overall, and the head coach of the Tigers is Bruce Pearl. He now joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And Bruce, you've been coaching a long time. How much has this start been among the great surprises that you've seen during your coaching career?
Well, it's probably one of the great starts that we've had. Been doing, like you said, been doing it a long time. But, John, I think there were a lot of people in the country that thought this team had a chance to be better because of some guys returning, because of the quality of the players, the good recruiting the last couple of years, yourself being one of them, that felt like we could be a team that could finish in the middle or maybe even the upper division of the SEC, which puts you in a chance to get in a postseason. So it's been a very, very good start.
Well, and it's miraculous, too, because a lot of people, you know, could make the argument that two of your best players, Austin Wiley and Dangelo Purifoy, have yet to play a second for this team. What was your message to your team when you found out those two guys wouldn't be eligible out of the gate?
Well, it was more about the disappointment for them than it was the team. I mean, our hearts are broken that Dangelo and Austin can't be out there right now. They're great kids. We made some mistakes. They were victims. I'm disappointed in the decision, but I do understand it. And we know that Austin is going to get his eligibility back next year. We're still appealing for this year. We haven't had a final ruling on Dangelo, so it was more about how badly we felt for them. That said, now, all right, we had 9 scholarship guys that were remaining. And that's just simply been our focus, is you take what you have and you do the very best you can with it. Now, we are one of the smallest teams in the country, probably amongst Power 5 conferences. We might be the smallest team in the country. We're getting ready to get into a stretch of our schedule, John, where we're going to see Alabama, Georgia, Missouri, and LSU by size. These are some of the biggest teams in the country, and so clearly, as we continue to get into SEC play against some of the bigger teams in our league, we'll miss Dangelo and Austin more.
Now, you've talked about your size. You have nobody right now that's eligible over 6'8". What are the pros for Bruce Pearl, who, again, had that fast-paced, frenetic, pressing, trapping style at Tennessee that had so much success, of coaching a smaller, quicker basketball team?
Well, what we've tried to do is press in the half court. And so whether it be our underbasket, our bounce pressure, our sideline pressure, or try to be disruptive in the half court, that's one of the things that we've done. It's hard to press 94 feet with the rule changes, and it's hard to trap because of the cone. And so we just try to be disruptive. We've managed to rebound by committee. And, John, the number one factor in the start of the season are the players. Number two factor is the players. The number three factor are the players. These kids are totally bought in. They absolutely are playing for each other. There's very little selfishness on this team, very little my turn on this team. And that chemistry has helped us, make winning way more important than anybody's individual numbers.
Auburn head coach Bruce Pearl joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Tigers, the lone undefeated team in the SEC, 16-1 overall. And, we obviously talk about the speed and the quickness, but you can't win without shot making. And right now, Bryce Brown, one of your guards, is on an absolute tear from long distance. You coach Chris Lofton at Tennessee. You've always been somebody who's had people who could put the ball in the basket. Where is Bryce Brown right now among the best shooters that Bruce Pearl's coached?
He's right there behind Lofton. And like Lofton, he is making himself into a tough cover. Chris was a great shooter with unbelievable range, probably in a league of his own. Bryce is close. But the thing that Bryce has done is he's taking people off the bounce. He's developed a mid-range game. And the one thing that he has that Chris didn't have, not to be critical of Chris, because there's no way to be critical of the all-time greatest shooter in the history of the SEC, Chris Lofton, Bryce Brown might be the best defensive guard in our league. It doesn't get a lot of play. He doesn't get a lot of credit for it. But Bryce is as good keeping his man in front. And you're right, but Bryce isn't alone, because Mustafa Heron is having a terrific year because he does everything really well. He's much improved. Jared Harper is one of the better point guards in the country that doesn't get a whole lot of talk. Davion Mitchell, solid coming off the bench. Malik Dunbar coming off the bench. And so, we've got five really good guards. We've got four good frontline guys. We have a nine-man rotation. And, John, when we go to the bench, we don't really drop off. The guys have done a great job coming off the bench.
And, BP, you've been in the SEC for a long time, 6 years at Tennessee, now at Auburn. To me, the SEC has no top, no middle, no bottom. It's the deepest it's ever been since I've covered it. How about you coaching in it?
Oh, I agree. It's unbelievable. I mean, and I said this in the very beginning, good luck picking the teams at the bottom. Like, okay, it makes even more sense right now, but I was saying that at the beginning of the year. Like, who are you going to put at the bottom? People put LSU at the bottom. That was a mistake. People put Tennessee at the bottom. That was a mistake. People put us there. People put South Carolina, because they lost so many guys. I mean, it's just, and I've said this, John, the team that wins this league may not be the most talented. Now, it might be. I mean, Kentucky is the most talented. Alabama is one of the most talented. Texas A&M is one of the most talented. It's going to be hard to survive those five losses to win the league in the regular season, but you just don't know. But the team that wins this league could be the team that just grinds and just is excited about playing every single night, win them all at home and steal a couple on the road. And, the winner of this league could have 4 or 5 losses easily.
Now, right now, Auburn is in sole possession of first place, and that's nothing new for you because you had so many great teams at Tennessee, teams that earned high seeds in the NCAA tournament. How is the feeling you have about this team, given the personnel you have right now, compared to some of the teams you had at Tennessee that were high seeds on Selection Sunday?
It compares, but John, the league doesn't. In other words, look, I could win 6 or 7 games in the league, just automatic. Like, just, we could sweep a couple of teams that are at the bottom, not an issue. But that's not the case right now. So I can't necessarily say how this thing is going to finish up. And it's going to have more to do with just the competitive of our league. But what we're doing right now is historic. It's historic at Auburn. We haven't been in the tournament since 2003. When we beat Ole Miss, they had beaten us 13 out of 15. When we won Saturday at Mississippi State, they had won 14 out of 15 at Mississippi State. So everything that this team and this program is doing is historic, dating back to, we had a really good team in 2000. We had a good team in 2009, Coach Lebo. There was a good team in 2003, but you really got to go back to 99 and Coach Cliff Ellis. And Chris Porter. Then you got to go back to Sonny Smith and Charles Barkley and Chuck Person in that era. And so this team's making history. This community is absolutely on fire. We just pray that we can keep it going.
Well, and you're doing all this while being extremely shorthanded. You mentioned Austin Wiley at the top. You haven't mentioned Dangell Purifoy yet. Are you planning internally right now for the rest of the season that you won't have Dangell Purifoy eligible?
You've got to prepare with them and you got to prepare without them. Obviously, those guys are practicing every day. We're still involved in the process. And I do trust the process. I trust the process. I know I don't have all the details, but you've just got to trust that they're doing what's right. Even though you're disappointed. Our depth's an issue. John, we're playing at Murray State. There's 6 minutes left to go in a tie ball game. And I got, one kid in the locker room with a flagrant 2. I got one kid on the bench with a concussion, another kid cramping with a full body cramp, and I got 6 guys. And we're trying to close out a game on the road. So, there's not a lot of margin for error for us. I understand that. But look, you just take them one at a time. You keep grinding. We're in position right now where we can beat anybody in this league. And we know that any night anybody can beat us. I mean, look at Ole Miss. They've got 3 wins in this league already. And one of them is against Florida, and nobody ever would have thought that Alabama, they've got 3 wins in the league, And they're right where you thought they'd be. They're sitting right there in fourth place, right where you thought they'd be. And so, I don't know, you could pick any team and everything. Look at the job Rick Barnes is doing at Tennessee. I mean, my goodness gracious, you and I are both old enough to remember when Rick Barnes was, you know, was a young coach at Clemson or Providence, and you could tell he was going to be a star. And now you see Rick Barnes as, you know, one of the older guys in our profession. You know, a guy that we all sort of look up to as one of those KG veterans, having just coached his 1,000th game. This league is full of great coaches, and you know, I give Mike Slive and Commissioner Sankey a lot of credit for encouraging the ADs in this league to try to commit to men's basketball and have men's basketball be as good as we are in every other sport, because the SEC dominates in every other sport, because it just means more.
Auburn head coach Bruce Pearl joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Tigers 4-0 in first place in the SEC, 16-1 overall. You know, Bruce, you spent a couple of years out of basketball in between Tennessee and Auburn. What was the biggest thing that you learned during that time?
Oh, I just think I learned how much I missed the ministry. You know, I missed the kids. I missed making a difference in their lives. I missed the fact, look, we've graduated 17 out of 18 guys in the three and a half, four years I've been here. And it wasn't easy. And it was through tough love and discipline. And so I think that's the big thing. And again, you want to try to be doing what God would have you do. And I feel like being on a college campus, it gives me an opportunity to have the most impact in what we were doing. And so that's been it. You know, today's Martin Luther King Day. And, you know, right before you had called, I was in with the team and we were going around the room talking about what Dr. King meant to them and the responsibility that goes along with, you know, the work that he did. And the sacrifices that were made for so many that came before my team. Now, how are these guys and how are we are going to take advantages of the opportunities that are available to them? And it's stuff like that I would have missed if I was not in coaching.
Now, what were the biggest moments where you missed coaching? I know you did some marketing work, you know, as an executive of H.T. Hackney. You did some work in the media. We worked together a little bit doing some things together. But what were the moments that were toughest for Bruce Pearl when he didn't have a team?
I think the toughest moments were working with the H.T. Hackney Company as a vice president of marketing. I was working with lots of other people. And so what I tried to do through the so many wonderful employees, I tried to make the workplace a better place for the people that we were working with, whether it be in marketing or in management or whatever. That was what my mission was. And I enjoyed that aspect of it. But John, when you're working in the television aspect of thing, you're an independent contractor. And while you and I did work together, and I worked with some other guys and producers and things like that, for the first time in my life, I was paid simply because of what I could do. Whether I did a good job or not, didn't matter. But my gift or what I get the most out of is when I can help others. So as a coach, I have a chance to help others. What kind of impact can I have on my staff? What kind of impact can I have on student athletes or in the student body? And so what I missed was I really never accomplished much on my own. I was able to accomplish things as part of a team, whether as a student and an assistant to Dr. Tom Davis or being a head coach, being a part of a team, being a part of a family, relying on others and knowing how much others rely on you. That was the biggest thing I missed.
And, you know, you've really done an unbelievable job right now weathering the storm that you've had to deal with at Auburn. I'm curious, how much did the things that you deal with at Tennessee help prepare you for really the storm that you had to weather this fall at Auburn?
I mean, not really. You know, you get disappointed that you're in this stuff, because sometimes it can define you, and you don't let it define you, because the good outweighs the bad. The works that you try to do, you know, outweigh, you know, some of the challenges that you get into. I mean, the longer you're in it, the more you're going to be faced with these things. You just got to work your way. You got to work your way through that process. And so just not allowing yourself to be defined by it. It's part of what you got to go through. And we certainly are going through it here at Auburn, but we're going to come out of this okay. I just, the biggest tragedy is I feel bad for the people that have been hurt, because there have been, you know, coaches and players – And you know, folks that love Auburn that have been hurt through this, but we'll get through this process.
Considering everything that's going on in your career and considering the success that you've had, you've coached in the Elite Eight, you've been to the Sweet 16, you've had, you know, such great runs in the SEC, what would it mean for you to be in a room on Auburn's campus on Selection Sunday and see the Tigers' name come up on the screen?
Well, don't get me crying here because you know what a wimp I am. But listen, not one time in all the years I was in Division II, or it was at Southern Indiana, or at Wisconsin-Milwaukee, or at the University of Tennessee, did I ever not hear our name call, and did I not feel like having a Dick Vermeil moment? Because it just means so much, and it means so much to so many. And so it'll mean a great deal, but we got a lot of work to do to make it happen this year. But we have put ourselves in a very good position.
What's the biggest thing that has to happen for this Auburn team to maintain stride and be playing basketball in the NCAA tournament?
Oh, we can't lose anybody. We need to stay healthy, and we can't get down much below nine guys. And we do that. We give ourselves a chance night in and night out. We just got to keep finding a way. You know, we got to rebound as a committee, and we got to make plays. I mean, just the bottom line. Players have to make plays. Don't sit back defensively and wait for them to miss. Make them miss. Go get that rebound. Make a play.
Bruce, appreciate a couple minutes. Congratulations on a great start. Stay healthy, and I'll be in touch with you along the way.
Okay, John, you do a great job. Thank you.
We'd like to thank Auburn head coach Bruce Pearl for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, I want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to Geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Chris Clemens, and it's, John, what is North Carolina's biggest need in order to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament? Well, you know, it's interesting when you look at North Carolina this year, because this is not a vintage Roy Williams team in terms of size. You talk to the staff, they still feel that post play is the biggest thing they need to address. Need good mileage out of Garrison Brooks, need good mileage out of Sterling Manley. But, you know, I brought this up to somebody recently. You look at North Carolina playing small, and you look at, obviously, Cam Johnson manning the four spot, and you look at what's going on down the road at Tobacco Road at Duke and the size they have with Bagley, with Carter. North Carolina's playing like Duke, and Duke is playing like North Carolina in terms of their vintage alignments. Our next question comes from Ross Shercliffe, and it's, John, what chance does Conference USA have at getting two teams into the NCAA tournament? I'm happy you brought this up, because I think when you look at Conference USA, you have two teams that are formidable and could win a game in the NCAA tournament in Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky. Obviously, to have a chance at an at-large, you have to have minimal league losses, and the one chip that Western Kentucky may have if Middle Tennessee were to win Conference USA, Western Kentucky has a win on a neutral floor over Purdue. If Purdue is a one seed, that could be a major chip for Rick Stansbury and the Hilltoppers to play with. Time now to get you set with some fresh nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, the next one. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is flourishing for Kentucky without Quade Green in the lineup in two games last week. 19 points a game, 5.5 rebounds, 5.5 assists. Nugget number two, sharing is caring. Purdue has assisted on 38 of its last 56 made field goals. If you love to watch good offense, you have to watch the Boilermakers. Nugget number three, a forgotten man. Is there an elite freshman in college basketball that gets less attention than Oklahoma's Brady Manek? Probably not. Trae Young's classmate has hit 6 3-point shots twice already during Big 12 play and is 44% from long distance on the season. Kid's a player. Nugget number four, Stoic Assassins. When do we start talking about Landry Shamet and Connor Frankamp as one of college basketball's top backcourts? They were huge down the stretch Saturday at Tulsa. And nugget number five, looking buff. We talked about this at the top of the podcast. Colorado coming on in the Pac-12 behind George King and McKinley Wright, the freshman point guard, wins in the last 2 weeks over Arizona, Arizona State, and at UCLA. Now, let's get to some games to watch.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
A couple of good ones Tuesday. Cincinnati at Central Florida. Clemson at North Carolina. Clemson has never won at North Carolina. Wednesday, Seton Hall at Creighton. Arizona State at Stanford. And then Thursday, a big one in the West Coast Conference, St. Mary's at Gonzaga. Again, St. Mary's needs this game if it's going to play itself back into the NCAA tournament at large picture. I would like to thank Auburn head coach Bruce Pearl for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.